What are the things that matter most? I'm sure we could all come up with responses, and because we are all in the same culture, our answers would likely be pretty similar. Family, church, community, vocational goals, hobbies, and serving the least of these. And of course, none of these are bad things at all. But finding someone who has found balance in prioritizing all of these things, well, that would be quite the find. I don't know about you all, but I am exhausted by all of the things that are constantly in front of us. Because of technology, we know far more about the world than we are able to handle. Within the span of just a couple of minutes on my phone, I can see that in terms of the economy, it is a bear market. We are quite possibly heading for a recession. I can read reports of the latest carnage in Ukraine. I can read about partisan gridlock in Congress. I can look at charts showing that our nation is still averaging 100,000 new daily cases of COVID. And I can hear forecasts about a violent hurricane season fueled by the climate catastrophe that is upon us all. And that's without even thinking about all the people that I know who have cancer or addiction or depression. Between all that we want to do and care about, it's just exhausting to think about it all. Which is one reason why I am so thankful to you all for the invitation to be with you this week in Linville. Having an opportunity to be here for a week is a tremendous blessing to clergy and their families in the midst of this frenetic pace of life and ministry. A biblical passage that's been on my mind recently is one that we did not read today, but I'm sure many of us know it well. Jesus goes to the home of Mary and Martha. Mary sits at Jesus' feet, presumably to be near his peace and to learn from him. Meanwhile, Martha is distracted and concerned by many things, including meal preparation. And when Martha complains that Mary really ought to be in the kitchen helping her, Jesus says that it is Mary who has chosen the better part, because he says there is need of only one thing. So I've been thinking a lot about how distracted we all are, both as individuals and as a people. And so when I read this morning's collect in preparation for this sermon, it resonated with that uneasiness that seems to be in the water. O Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name. That prayer dates back to the 700s, and it has helped the faithful through the centuries to find grounding amidst the changes and chances of this life. That sense of being pulled in a dozen different directions, which, as you might know, is actually an older form of torture being called quartered, which really should tell us something about the perils of trying to multitask. But having too many priorities and concerns is demoralizing, destabilizing, and deflating. Now, intuitively, I think we all know what the answer is, right? It's Jesus. He is the one that says to us, "Come to me, all who labor and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." It's just we've been trained to think that it is weak to ask for help or to ever take a break. And so though we appreciate this very kind offer from Jesus, we have been conditioned to say, "Thank you, Lord, but I can handle this." But we know that's not true because of how unhealthy our society is. We said in the psalm, "As the deer longs for the water brooks, so longs our soul for God." Or as St. Augustine famously put it, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in God." When we are pulled in so many different directions and have too many priorities, the result is that we don't have a solid foundation. Without a center, nothing can hold together. There is a void created in us because we are just so distracted and so captive to sin. And try as we might, we cannot fill that space. We can try virtues or we can try vices, but there is no amount of volunteering or gambling that can fill that black hole of distraction and worry that come with being in modern society. There is only one thing that gives us the peace that passes all understanding, As the psalmist proclaims, my soul is athirst for God, athirst for the living God. And that's what the collect this morning is training us to focus on, love and reverence for God's holy name. This is the sure foundation of God's love, that is a sure enough foundation to support us in our many priorities and to give us hope for the future, even though it seems as if many things are going astray. And it can be tempting, of course, to think that our particular historical moment is unique in how perilous things are. But it is not. St. Paul was dealing with similar frustration and uncertainty when he wrote to the Galatians. The point of this letter, which actually reads more like a rant, is that because we are in Christ, everything is different. The language that we had in today's passage is that because of baptism, we have been clothed in Christ. And when we forget that we are clothed in Christ, it's a big part of that distractedness that we all deal with. Imagine opening your proverbial closet and looking at all of those clothes that we have to put on. Am I a boss? A spouse? A constituent? A consumer? An advocate? A retiree? A grandparent? And it's the same thing when we think about all the things going on in society. Do I put my energy into environmental issues or immigration reform or childhood literacy rates? And the list just goes on and on. There is always one more cause for us to consider taking up, one more role that we could put on. And when we metaphorically put on and wear, well, that puts us into different factions that can be at odds with one another over what thing is the most important. And St. Paul describes some of these divisions as Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female. But he says we have been clothed in Christ, and so we are all one in Christ Jesus. Or as that hymn that we just sang put it, in Christ there is no east or west. Those distinctions no longer need to divide us or distract us from what matters most. We're just so good at spotting differences, aren't we? It's even something that most children will know as a fun game, right? You have two pictures. Find the difference between the two. Now, this is not to say that differences are bad, but they ought not be what we focus on, especially when it comes to people and fellow Christians. The Galatian church was being torn apart by divisions. Some wanted to prioritize faithfulness to the law as the most important thing, and others who were following St. Paul's teaching about the supremacy of grace in all things. But the specifics of what they fought about doesn't really matter. Rather, the disunity that was being caused is the concern. And that is the thrust of St. Paul's response. He does not write a theological doctrine about salvation to them, or talk about the proper place of the law. Rather, he appeals to the oneness that they have because they have all been clothed in Christ through baptism. This oneness, this clothing of our faith is about having love and reverence for God's name. That's what baptism is all about, being immersed into God's love and seeing ourselves as a part of God's story instead of thinking that God is a part of our story. This is why from the earliest days of the church, baptism has been described as dying to ourselves and rising in new life in Christ. When those waters of baptism wash over us, they can wash away all of those competing distractions and concerns if we'll just loosen our grip on them. Because there is only one thing to hold on to, and that is the love of God in Christ Jesus. It is, as Jesus says, those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose it in his name will be transformed into having abundant and eternal life in him. In clinging to all of those other identities, priorities, and worries, we end up anchoring ourselves to so many things other than the gracious love of God, which is the only thing we have need of. Now, the goal is never uniformity. We don't want to erase our differences or our diversity, but we want to recognize that while our differences may describe us, those differences do not define us. We are defined by the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is our deepest and truest identity, because we have been clothed with his grace and his mercy. The elimination of priorities or ignoring the things that ought to concern us is not the goal. Rather, we want to be something like an orchestra. And we all might be in different sections. That's okay. We've got some brass, some woodwinds, and strings. That's how it's supposed to be. The last thing that we want is an oboist trying to play a trombone. It's okay if some of us are holding a note while others are taking a rest. And even if we're not all playing the same note, that's okay. A symphony that is in absolute uniformity would not be very interesting or beautiful. Rather, what stirs our souls is harmony. And harmony in faith comes from Christ being at the center. He gives us our pitch, our tempo, our direction. And this is both the amazing grace and the challenge of Christianity. We have been given all that we need to flourish, but it has to be received as a gift. It is not the product of our own making. When we are united in love, amazing things can happen because we trust and know that we are part of the same ensemble. When we ascribe reverence to God's name instead of our own name, or our need to be right, or our reputation, accolades, or resources, then we are free to join in that great hymn that God is orchestrating. And how do we participate in this glorious music? Well, as that collect tells us, with love and reverence for God's name. Just like being in an orchestra, we have to listen to those who are around us. We have to always keep our eye on the conductor to make sure that we are in tempo with others. And we have to read what's in front of us, thinking about scripture, to make sure that we are playing the same notes instead of the ones that we just make up for ourselves. We have to spend time practicing by resting, praying, and being generous with our time and treasure to make sure that we are in tune with the conductor. And we also have to spend time with others in worship, because an orchestra does not work if everyone practices alone and has never played with anyone else before. And as we do these things, we are training ourselves to have love and reverence for the holy name of Jesus, in whom we find the peace of God that our souls are so thirsty for. Indeed, these are confusing, disturbing, and distracting times. But thanks be to God for giving us the sure foundation of love, which hopes all things, endures all things, bears all things, and makes all things to be well. Amen. Amen.